والسنه وكلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنين السنه drinking water سنه من drinking water drink with the right hand since shaitan drinks with the left hand. Sit and drink, it is forbidden to drink while standing. Sit and drink, it is forbidden to drink while standing. A snake or scorpion, etc., may have crept in. To recite this dua after drinking water, not other drinkables, is also sunnat. To recite this dua after drinking water, not other drinkables, is also sunnat. Alhamdulillah, illadhi saqana adban furatan birahmatihi walam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bidhunubina. Translation, O Allah, all praise is due to Allah, who of His mercy has granted us sweet and pleasant water to drink, and did not make it bitter and salty due to our sins. All praise is due to Allah, who of His mercy has granted us sweet and pleasant water to drink, and did not make it bitter and salty due to our sins. After drinking water, if the utensil is to be passed on to others, pass it to the one on the right, who in turn will pass it to the one on his right. And this practice, this procedure will continue till the end. After drinking water, if the utensil is to be passed on to others, pass it to the one on the right, who in turn will pass it to the one on his right. And this procedure will continue till the end. The same sequence should be observed when passing around tea or anything else. Recite this dua after drinking milk. Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna minhu. Recite this dua after drinking milk. Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna minhu. Translation, O Allah, grant us barakah, blessings in it, and grant us more of it. The one serving should drink last. Continuing from the kitab, Effective Remedies for Spiritual Maladies. Ba'arif billah, Hazrat Akhtar Masha Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. Gossiping and false suspicions. This is an evil quality which is spreading like wildfire in the Ummah. Especially among the so-called pious people, in a bid to establish their superiority over others, many a pious ones become victim to the spiritual disease, entertaining false suspicions and evil thoughts with regard to others have also become the fashion of the day. This malady is the root of all quarrels and disputes. It is the major cause of hatred and animosity amongst people. Gossiping and false suspicions, this is an evil quality which is spreading like wildfire in the Ummah, especially amongst the so-called pious people. In a bid to establish their superiority over others, many a pious ones become victim to the spiritual disease, entertaining false suspicions and evil thoughts with regard to others has also become the fashion of the day. This malady is the root of all quarrels and disputes. It is the major cause of hatred and animosity amongst people. Each and every evil thought or suspicion will be questioned about on the day of judgment. Each and every evil thought or suspicion will be questioned about on the day of judgment. On the other hand, there will be no reckoning for harboring good thoughts with regards to others, even if those thoughts happen to be contrary to reality. On the other hand, there will be no reckoning for harboring good thoughts with regards to others, even if those thoughts happen to be contrary to reality. It is sheer folly to throw away one's good deeds and earn others' sins merely on the basis of false suspicions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned both these maladies in the Quran and has commanded His servants to abstain therefrom. The hadith described gossiping to be worse than adultery, and false suspicious have been described in the hadith as the worst form of lies and untruth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, give us a tawfiq to put into practice whatever it means.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث آخر نية المؤمن خير من عمله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, the qurbani that has taken place and the various lessons that we've learned from qurbani, for those who are interested and concerned about the reformation of one's inner self, then this particular topic, which inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tawfiq to touch on, then this is an extremely crucial and important aspect in the life of all those who claim to be salikin. Salikin are those individuals who tread the path of suluk, where the person makes this continuous effort to purify and reform himself, to polish his heart, to purify one's heart, which is a great act of ibadah. And effectively the person is becoming a human being, a true insan. And this is the goal, and this is the objective, and this is one of the missions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the missions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to invite people towards good, forbid them from evil, to recite the ayat of the Quran Sharif, wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikma. That the Nabi of Allah, one of his missions was to purify tazkiyah, wa yuzakkihim from tazkiyah. To make tazkiyah, to purify the hearts of the Sahaba ikram. And subhanallah, look at the manner in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the help of Allah ta'ala, purified the hearts of Sahaba ikram. That those individuals, we've heard this over and over again, whose hearts were like rock, were hard, merciless. But after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, they became such insan that we cannot even imagine. It just doesn't make sense. The incident of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was such a hard person, fearless. He sets out on a mission to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah blesses him with iman. He was such a person who was a warrior, killed people. He beat up his own sister till she began bleeding. He beat up his sister. But that same Umar radiallahu anhu, after he accepted Islam, subhanallah, what was his condition? What was his nature? One cannot even understand and imagine. That one sahabi says, I saw Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was standing up on the pulpit when he was Amir al-Mu'minin, the leader of the Muslimin. And he had over 13 patches on his, patches on his garment. Some of them were of leather, some were of some other fabric. That was the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. One ambassador from one of the empires, the Persian or Roman Empire, he came to Medina Sharif to negotiate. He said, I'm looking for the king of Medina. At that time, Umar ibn Khattab was the Amirul Mu'min, So he said, I'm looking for the king of Medina. Where is his palace? our king has got no palace, He said, where will I find him? He said, when you've come at the time when he'll be resting, you go to the Qabristan, you see under one tree he's lying down. No bodyguards, no entourage, no protocol, nothing.
Allah.
Umar radiallahu anhu had his lungi tied, and his upper garment was lying one side and he was resting. He was shocked and amazed at the simplicity and the manner in which Umar radiallahu anhu at night and night and night he would roam the streets when he was Amirul Mu'mineen without anyone knowing to see what's the condition of the Ummah. On one occasion he passed by a home. He saw a woman who was stirring a pot of food, what appeared to be a pot of food. The children were crying all around. So he inquired from her. She couldn't see who it was. That, oh, lady, what is wrong? What is happening? Why are these children crying? She says, no, there's no food. He said, well, what you got in the pot? He said, no, this is just water. I'm allowing the water to boil so that the children, when they listen to the sound of the water, eventually they'll hopefully fall off to sleep. And then she made a statement that, you know, the Amirul Mu'mineen, he doesn't know what's our condition. He doesn't see to us. She didn't realize this was Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu himself. So he went to Baytul Mal with his slave. He said, now I want you to load this sack of flour and rice, put it on my back. And he took some butter. So the slave said, no, I'll carry it. He says, no. I am instructing you to put it on my back. This is Amirul Mu'mineen. He placed it on his back. He went into the home, sought permission. He then prepared the food. He gave them the food. And then he stood outside waiting a little while until he saw the children were playing happily. And then he said to his slave, do you know why I waited here? He said, when I came to this home, they were all crying, the children. I just couldn't take it that I leave here without seeing the children playing. Wow. That was the polishing of the heart. And even greater than him, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What was his maqamat? What was his stage? I was mentioning to the students today, just an incident. We say khidmat. We make khidmat for others. Khidmat, the true definition of khidmat, kisi ko aaram pahunchana. That the person, he does an action that will give comfort to the makhdoom, to the person we're serving. And then of course the dua that the person will receive by that khidmat. Our only khidmat is to say in the shoes of the sheikh. You think we did a lot of things. So the true khidmat was the khidmat that the Sahaba Ikram made for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What level of khidmat? No, nevertheless. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, together with running the entire condition, the affairs of the state, he would take out some time to look after certain individuals. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to observe him. And he noticed that at a certain time of the day, he would take a little basket of food and he would go out of the outskirts of Medina Sharif to one particular house. And there he would enter. So he thought, must be one elderly person, something. So after the demise of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he took it upon himself to now try and cover whatever was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was covering. So he says when he went to this house, he sought permission, he entered. And he saw a person who was covered in sores. His entire body was covered in sores from head to toe. He was blind. So he was amazed. So he says, listen. The person who used to see to you is unavailable at the moment. I'm just holding fort here. He didn't want to give him the news. So he said, you can just guide me what he used to do for you and I'll try and do it. So he says, no, he used to come every day. He used to see to my needs. He used to feed me. So he says, okay, what used to feed you? So he gave him soft food, etc. So Umar radiallahu anhu took the food, and now immediately when he put that utensil or the spoon or his hand into the mouth of that person began screaming. So he says, no, my entire tongue is covered with sauce. Allah. And the person who used to serve me, what he used to do is to place his tongue gently on top of my tongue. Gently. Allah. And then he used to, from his mouth, put that food into my mouth so that it gently enters my throat.
Allah.
Umar radiallahu anhu began crying. And he said that, you know who that person was? It was none other than Amirul Mu'mineen Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So that was the polishing of the heart that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. He completely purified the hearts of Sahaba Ikram to the extent that their hearts were more precious than even gold. It was shining diamonds, the hearts of the Sahaba Ikram. We just can't imagine what kind of hearts. That was the purifying of the hearts that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did upon the Sahaba Ikram. And yes, we cannot reach the level of the Sahaba Ikram, but we can make an effort to reach those levels. And this is the point that we want to try and home, inshallah, Allah give me tawfiq first to make practice. Is that we as salikin and as mu'mineen, we sometimes underestimate the power of our intentions. The power of our intentions, we sometimes underestimate it. And this niyyah, which we term as an intention, niyyah is regarded as fi'lul qalb. It's the action of the heart. And Allah Ta'ala made it such that no one can see into the heart of the next person. No one knows what intention each person has got. But each person has to make an effort to try and develop the ability to make good intentions. Hence we find that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has drawn out a policy for every single believer till the day of Qiyamah. That all your actions, every single action that you do, no matter what that action is, its foundation and its basis is dependent upon your intention. If that intention is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now of course, ulama ikram have explained that they are, with regards to intentions, then there are three categories of intentions. One is where a person has to make a good intention. For example, salah, zakat, qurbani, hajj. There the person is not allowed to make any other intention. If the person, for example, comes for salah, and his intention then is that my employer is there, and if I don't come for his salah, my employer will fire me, or get upset with me, so chalo, let's go for salah. So khair, he went to the masjid, but unfortunately, that salah of his will be devoid of thawab. Ulama ikram will say that salah is done, but in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, in the court of Allah Ta'ala, he will not get the reward for that salah. Now if a person is performing salah with that intention, we won't say, now he don't go perform salah. We say, chalo, never mind, carry on reading salah, inshallah, hopefully, one day, the intention will be corrected. One day the intention will be corrected. Don't throw the utensil away. Chalo, if there's a little bit of filth in that utensil, don't throw the old utensil away. Keep the utensil, inshallah, one day, you'll be able to get it washed and you'll clean it. So in the same way, if a person is, for example, performing the salah with the wrong intention, he's performing it so that his maulana or his ustad sees him, or the person wants to put a proposal at a certain home and the potential father-in-law is coming there, so he wants to create a very good impression. So, chalo, his salah will be done, but in the eye of Allah, that will not be accepted.
Allah.
And we are not just saying this from our pocket. This is the hadith of Rasulullah. The Sahaba ikram were making hijrah, such a great amal. And who was making hijrah? Sahaba. But some were making hijrah for the wrong intention. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, your hijrah is for what you made intention. You made intention to make hijrah, to get married to the woman. That hijrah is for marriage. That hijrah is not for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the person who has made hijrat for Allah and his, the hijrat is for that particular purpose. So therefore, when it comes to our a'mal, our salah, our zakat, our hajj, what we term as ibadat, then we cannot do that ibadat for anyone besides Allah, otherwise that action will be rejected in the court of Allah. It comes in the riwayah that a person, he learned the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will inquire from him that what did you do? He say, Ya Allah, I learned your deen. I became a Hafiz al-Quran, a Mufti, a Alim. I did all of this. I did it for your pleasure. Allah Ta'ala will respond to him that you are lying. You did this so that people will call you Hafiz Sahab, Maulana Sahab, Qari Sahab, Mufti Saab. That's what you did it for. So in this dunya, you got what you decided, wished for. The person went out in jihad, he fought, he gave his life. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be called, and what did you do? He says, Ya Allah, I gave my life towards your deen. Allah Ta'ala will respond that you're lying. You are speaking lies. You sacrifice your life so that people will call you a brave person.
Allah.
People will call you, what a brave person, who sacrificed his life. So yes, you got that. People called you brave. So you got what you wanted. Now in my court, you get absolutely nothing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When it comes to our amal and our actions, do it solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Don't make shirk in our actions with anyone besides Allah. That is also termed as shirk khafi. One is shirk jali, that the shirk where a person worships a deity besides Allah openly. But this is also a form of, a light form of shirk, where the person is making ibadat for someone other than Allah. He's performing that salah to impress his ustad, not for pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Or he's performing that action for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we have to be extremely cautious and careful. Make your intention clean, purify your intention. Keep it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep on telling yourself that if I'm going to perform this salah, or if I'm going to give this charity so that people may be impressed by this charity, so I'm losing out completely. Because first of all, the money is going out from my pocket, my bank balance is going down. Right? So the money is getting less. I'm getting a little bit poorer. Right? Yes, the poor person perhaps is getting a little bit wealthier. But I'm achieving nothing in Akhirat. People are going to, today people will say, MashaAllah, what a generous person. They'll say for one day, they'll say for 2 days. Maybe 1 week they'll carry on saying how generous you are. Perhaps if you're lucky, they'll carry on. They'll carry on remembering you for about 2 or 3 weeks. After that, finish. After that, people forget completely. People don't even remember. So now you did it for that name and fame. The name and fame, yeah, and sometimes you did something wrong by mistake, you tramp the person's toes. After that, he forgets everything. Now he says, they can't walk straight. Now they're insulting you. Forgot everything. And you did it to try and impress that person, you got absolutely nothing. So keep on telling yourself that what is the sense if I do it for anyone besides Allah Ta'ala? People will not never remember it. But if you did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you didn't lose out anything. Because all that you did is you took that wealth, whether it's 10,000 rand, 50,000 rand, 100,000 rand, 300,000 rand, 1 million. All you did is you took that 1 million and you transferred it to the Akhirat. You transferred it to the Akhirat. Now that 1 million gets transferred into the currency of the Akhirat. Whether people acknowledge or don't acknowledge makes no difference. But you have secured your transaction in the Akhirat. That 1 million rand is gone into your bank of the Akhirat. Inshallah, when you cross the border and go on the other side, and then you see what the person achieved by means of all those investments and those charities and helping the poor and helping the families, provided he did it solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then subhanAllah. So therefore, respected elders and mothers, when it comes to our a'mal and our actions, our charities, do it for Allah Ta'ala only, otherwise it's not going to be accepted. So this is a very important thing, that when it comes to these particular actions, then there we have no option but to do it with this intention. But then you have another category, and that is the mundane activities. Our mundane activities, for example, the person goes to work, or the person, for example, goes to the toilet, or the person plays with his children, the person makes some khidmat for someone. These are regarded as mundane activities, day-to-day worldly activities. There, if the person makes an intention, then that can turn into ibadat. For example, if the person, for example, he is walking and he sees somebody that needs some help, and he goes to help him with this intention that inshallah by helping him, this will be a means of da'wah to him, to Islam. So inshallah Allah Ta'ala will give him the reward for that. Or the person, for example, he greets a non-Muslim with the intention of bringing the person closer to Islam, inshallah the person will get the thawab of making an effort to bring someone closer to Islam. And sometimes with the barakat of the intention, Allah Ta'ala accepts that intention and makes it really happen. There is an incident of one person in the time of Nabi Musa ala Nabi Salatu Wasalam was walking. And whilst walking, he saw a huge mountain. And he said, Ya Allah, if I had this mountain of wheat, in those days people used to have wheat. He said, if I had this mountain of wheat, then I would have given this entire mountain of wheat in charity to the poor and needy.
Mm.
And that's all. Musa alayhi salam summoned this person. He said, Allah ta'ala, I send down wahi that you have been given the reward of distributing to the poor and needy one entire mountain of wheat. So Musa alayhi salam inquired, please tell me, what action did you do that Allah gave you such immense reward? He said, I did nothing. All I did is when I was walking, I saw this mountain, and I made an intention in my heart, Ya Allah, if I had this mountain of wheat, I would have distributed in charity. Allah Ta'ala accepted it. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi, that the intention of a believer is even better than the action itself.
Mm.
It is mentioned in the riwayah, sometimes a person goes to the masjid and he didn't realize the namaz time changed. And it happens, sometimes the namaz time changes and the person saw it and he didn't register. And he's used to coming Isha at a certain time. And when he arrives at the masjid, he realizes that namaz, jamaat is over. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi said, the person gets the reward of the entire jamaat.
Wow.
Yet he didn't perform jamaat. But because his intention was to go to the masjid to perform that jamaat, Allah gives him the reward. Why? The niyat of a believer is sometimes greater than action itself. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes it such that to protect the person from pride, Allah Ta'ala sometimes doesn't allow you to see your niyat being fulfilled. One person in the life of Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there was a hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the person who performs 40 days of salah with jama'ah, then he gets a certificate of freedom from the fire of Jahannam and entrance into the gardens of Jannah and various promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, the month of Ramadan, before the month of Ramadan he started, he made a firm resolution he wants to do. And mashallah, every salah on the last day, I think it may have been probably about the 27th night of Ramadan or something of that nature. It so happened, Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah, his programs towards the latter part of his life, Allah Ta'ala gave him a ajeeb kind of maqbooliyat. And when he would have his programs, the masjid would be packed, that entire car park area would be packed. They would put carpets there, and parking, you'd end up parking sometimes in the school grounds and you have to walk from there. So this person didn't realize the kind of crowd that would have been there for that Isha Salah or Maghrib Salah, whatever it was. And it was the last day. And he came on his normal time, everything. But because he had to park so far away, by the time he reached the masjid,
Allah,
Salah had already commenced.
Allah.
So he must istakbir away. Bishara, this person was so pareshan, he was so sad. He came, my Hazrat, I still remember, Hazrat gave an entire bayan on regard to that. That Allah Ta'ala in his hikmah, Allah Ta'ala sometimes protects the person from pride and takabbur. Because Allah Ta'ala knows that perhaps this person, if he had to achieve that 40 days, then this person would have, shaitan would have taken control of him.
Allah.
That no, you have already reached. You are now, even your Hazrat hasn't reached this maqama. Even the ulama haven't reached this maqama. The person sometimes, his thoughts crosses his mind. The person does some khidmat of deen, or he builds some masjid, or he builds a borehole, or he goes to some remote places and he makes some khidmat of deen. So shaitan whispers in the person's mind, okay, mashallah, you know, you have made such effort, or you have done, achieved such things, that even the pious people haven't, even the ulama haven't achieved these things. Even they haven't achieved these things.
No.
And so the person starts, the pride starts developing within the heart. One great alim mentioned, ke jis waqt aadmi apne nigaah mein bhare maloom hota hai, to samajh lo ke wo Allah ki nigaah mein bure maloom ho gaya. That remember, the person, from the moment he starts harboring a very good thought of himself, that's the point when he has become despicable in eye of Allah. He has become absolutely nothing in eye of Allah. So the person, Allah Ta'ala sometimes protects the person from takabbur and pride. The person, it was that 40th day when he would have completed it, but something happens and couldn't achieve it. Sometimes the person goes for Umrah and he's got full, I'm going to be making so many tawafs every day. Guaranteed. I'm doing it. See how these people go, they don't even make tawaf properly. I'll show them. And what happens? He goes there and he gets some injury and he breaks his leg. And bichara, he can't even do one tawaf properly. Now he's perishing. But that's Allah Ta'ala's taqweeni torbal, Allah Ta'ala's divine way of breaking that person's pride and takabbur and humbling the person. Humbling that person to make the person realize that you are banna of Allah Ta'ala and you can achieve absolutely nothing without the help of Allah. Remember that whatever we are achieving, respected elders and brothers, if Allah Ta'ala's help is not upon us, we can achieve absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So then Allah Ta'ala breaks the person's pride so that the person's gaze and nazar remains focused on Allah Subhanahu. That the person realizes that, Ya Allah, you are the only one who helped me for those 39 days. On this day you decided to remove your help from me. I couldn't achieve it. Perhaps the person was starting to feel overconfident with himself. So Allah Ta'ala showed the person. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, but that person who did that 40 days, Allah will give him the reward. Because his niyat was to do it. His intention, he got the thawab. He doesn't realize. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that Allah broke his pride. But he got the thawab. But in that way Allah Ta'ala protected him from any takabbur and any pride. And now perhaps he would have maybe made a claim. You know, Alhamdulillah. Sometimes the person says, you know, Alhamdulillah with the barakat of the Shaykh. You know, I managed to. So I slightly highlighted it. I managed to perform 40 days salah or takbir ula. You know, Alhamdulillah. Or sometimes the person goes for Hajj, as Imam Ali Sahib used to always say, that the person goes to visit that person who went for a lot of Hajj. So what he does, the person comes, he says, bring the zamzam from my fourth Hajj. Bring the zamzam from my fourth Hajj. You see that fourth part, that quietly came in there. So that's the person Allah who is looking and doing things for name and fame. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. What are we going to get by getting acknowledgement from people? Just make an effort to be acknowledged by Allah Ta'ala. If Allah has acknowledged you and if Allah has seen your amal, we don't need to show anyone else in the whole world. Today, the person, if you're going to do things for people, respected elders and brothers, today people will praise you, tomorrow the same people will turn around and insult you. So therefore, remove people from the hearts, do it for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu. So that was the second aspect, that mundane activities, just with the correct intention, just with correcting our intention. There was one person who had built a window. He was doing some extension to his home, some modifications, so he put a window in his room. The purpose of the window was for sunlight and ventilation. So his sheikh, he went to his sheikh, and his sheikh told him, what you busy, very busy now? So now there's some renovations in the house. And say, what you doing? He said, window. So he said, what intention you made when you put this window? What was your need? Ventilation and sunlight. He said, you should have made the intention that I'm putting this window here so that the sound of the azan can enter my room. And then I'll be able to wake up for salah. He said, then the wind and ventilation, khud by khud would have come inside. Automatically would have come inside. But now, a normal activity which could be termed as mundane, just with the correct intention, he could have turned that entire activity into what we term as income generating for the akhirah. Mm-hmm. We hear this term, and get some income generating property or in investment. So we also tend to use the same terms, income generating for your akhirah. Just change the intention. That's all. And that's something we have to learn. Our intentions is fi'lul qalb, the activity of the heart. No one can see into your heart. But respected elders and brothers, when an amal is done with the correct intention, it has great potential and power. Tremendous power. We just don't realize the power of that action. Our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Johannesburg International Airport in those days, the Jan Smuts Airport it was called. So, he had returned from Karachi. And while returning from Karachi, he was... the baggage allowance for international flights is greater than the local flights. So when he was trying to transfer the baggage through, he happened to have been overweight. So the person at the counter said, listen, you know, you're overweight, but you give something, we'll push it. In other words, if you give a bribe, we'll allow these items to go through. So Hazrat Maulana said that no, we are Muslim. You see, now this is the thing. When a person does it with that intention, said we are Muslim, and therefore this bribery and so on is not permissible. So don't worry, whatever can go through, you put it through. Whatever is extra, keep it one side. We've got some friends that are here to meet us. So we'll keep it with them. Somebody will be coming to Johannesburg, we'll send it with them. So now this person was captivated. He was captivated. Hazrat asked, somebody presented some water to him. So he took the water. We heard just now about the adab of drinking water. So Hazrat took that water, he sat down one side on the ground and he sipped the water in the sunnah way. So the person asked somebody there that was attending near Hazrat, why is he sitting and drinking the water? He said, you see, we're Muslims, so we are even taught how to drink water. He gave him some form of da'wah. So he immediately paused his work. He came out from there. He went to Hazrat Mawlana. His eyes were fixed on him. He said that, I'm interested in Islam. Explain to me about Islam. So Hazrat gave him a 20-minute introduction on the basics of Islam, the aspects of Islam. And this person was so captivated that there and then he recited the Shahada and accepted Islam. This is the thing, respected, that intention, when the person makes that intention, then he, every action of his can have such tremendous potential. Sometimes it's a small action, but it's done with the correct intention, then it's like the example that we give. A person can take a bullet, which is extremely powerful, but if he takes the bullet in his hands, and now that criminal walks in and says, you listen here, you see I got a bullet here, you be careful. So that criminal will say, throw it as hard as you want to. It's not going to make a difference to me. That bullet will be ineffective. But if he takes that same bullet and puts it in the barrel of a gun, and now he fires the bullet, now you see the difference. In the same way, our a'mar and our actions as believers has got great potential. But if we don't make the right intention, then it won't have that kind of effect. All we need to do is just change our intentions, make an intention in everything that you are doing, and then see the effect. And then finally, the last form of intention is the prohibited ones. Now sometimes people say, people do haram things. For example, the person will have a fundraising dinner to build a madrasa or masjid. Right? So he has the fundraising dinner, and now they start calling out, right, who's going to be giving? Now they start putting pressure on the donors, and now everybody, all the rich people, everybody's eyeing them, and the person is feeling out of place. So he says, so that wealthy person says, I'll give 10,000. And the other one, they're looking at him now. So he says, well, if he gave 10,000, I got to give more. So he says, I'll give 20,000. That one says, give it. And like this, everybody, after the fundraising dinner, mashallah, everybody, the organizers are patting themselves on the back. Mashallah, look at the amount of money we raised. Now when somebody goes to them and says, listen, you have had this fundraising dinner, but the money that you've achieved from this, the people, the donors, haven't given that money with a clean heart. They've been pressurized. Ulama al-Kiram explain that when it comes to collecting funds for masajid, madaris, then there are three conditions for that money to be permissible. First is, izzat nafs, that the person who's doing the collection, he should not disgrace and humiliate himself. Sometimes you find the donor, he goes to the extent that to such an extent that people start looking down upon him. The second condition is azmat ad-deen, that the greatness of deen must always remain intact. Not that now the wealthy people say, all the maulana, the madrasas, we are helping them. And if we don't provide for them, all the madrasas will shut down and close down. This is the effect of running behind these people to the extent that we start disgracing deen. We start losing that respect for deen. What should actually happen, like how when they made collection for the khanqah, so then Hazrat made the announcement. He said, okay, those brothers, we are making an announcement that we are purchasing the land for the khanqah. Those individuals who want to invest in the akhirah, you have an opportunity. The only reason I'm telling you is that on the day of Qiyamah, I don't want anyone to say that I didn't inform you that there's an opportunity for you to earn great rewards in the akhirah. Mm-hmm. And anybody who wants to contribute knows where's my office. You can come directly to my office and contribute it there. Bas. Look at that kind of respect and that kind of Hazrat Maulana Yunusab Rahmatullahi when he did the collection of Masjid al-Noor in those days. So Hazrat would just make an announcement, okay, brothers, we require this amount of money, the amounts are on the board. Whoever wants to contribute, you can contribute. No knocking on anyone's door. Many times they would put pressure, Azhar, we need the money, we need, as I said, we just take a loan. If we're running short, we just take a loan from someone. Repeat out. We're not disgracing ourselves, we're not disgracing deen. And the third condition is this that we had mentioned, tibe khate, which means that the person who is giving the money has to give it with a happy heart. He has to give it with a clean heart. He has to give it without any pressure. Otherwise, if you pressurize the person as if you put a gun to his head and then he gave you the money, we are not muftis, but when asked the muftis, if you put a gun to a person's head and tell him you don't give, I'll do this to you and I'll do that to you. And this is what happens in these situations. Or sometimes you use an influential person, that you go to him, you know, you put pressure on him. Now he gets happy, see, I just picked up the phone and I got 100,000. And he's excited too. A mission accomplished. And that person was under pressure, if I don't give the 100,000, you force the person to give that money. That money wasn't given with a clean heart. Where is the barakah going to be in that kind of wealth? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, now the intention part we're talking about. Now when you explain this to people, you say, no, but our intention was good. Our intention was good. So the end does not justify the means. Otherwise the person can say that, you know, we opened the bottle store so that we can build a masjid. We opened the bottle store so that we can build a masjid. Because, you know, there's a demand in this area for liquor, because we know most of the people, so we opened a bottle store, and then from the money of the bottle store, our intention was to build a masjid. So having a good intention, using a haram means, does not justify that intention. Yes. It is regarded as completely prohibited by the Sharia and ulama ikram. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to develop these qualities of good intentions and correcting our intentions. Everything that we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, you're going to do any action of deen for an ulterior motive, that is going to be devoid of any thawab and reward. The example again, once again in the introduction, those sahaba who made hijrah from Makkah to Mukarramah to Medina Sharif, they did it solely for the pleasure of Allah. But even then too, there was a particular sahabi who had an ulterior motive. He had an ulterior motive. We won't say it was haram, but at the end of the day, his action was devoid of thawab and reward. Mm. He didn't get that same reward that those companions got who made hijrah solely and only for the pleasure of Allah. So sometimes, and yet outwardly, both actions looked exactly the same. Both actions looked exactly the same. That both of them were making hijrah. But the one, his heart had a different intention, and the other had a different intention. I cannot see into your hearts, neither can you see into my hearts. We have to look and introspect within our own hearts. Whatever we are doing in terms of deen, khidmat of deen, helping the poor, the needy, the charities that we are doing, serving our parents, serving the community. What is our motive? What is our intention? And sometimes we have to be tested. And the person did a great thing, and now somebody else got acknowledged. And he gets very upset and angry. Why are you getting upset and angry? It's a sign that perhaps you did this action so that you can get some kind of recognition. Now that you didn't get the recognition, you are upset. Correct your intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to do our actions solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana is saying, always we repeat it, that do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. Inshallah, we will now have the brothers here, local brothers, mashallah, make the daily tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So they've made a khatam and they requested that the dua be made, inshallah. So conclude.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم آنس وقشتي في قبلي اللهم أغنني بالقرآن التوفيق واجعلني إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرني منه ما نسيته وعلمني منه ما جهلته وارزقني تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعلني حجة يا رب العالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله وصلي وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إلى إذا شئت اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك أو كريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving most loving most caring Allah يا الله through your fazal through your karam you have gathered us here tonight يا الله You have granted us the tawfiq to raise our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this is a sign, Ya Allah, that you want to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ameen. Ya Allah, if you did not want to forgive us, Ya Allah, if you did not want us to become close to you, Ya Allah, you would not have given us the tawfiq to be here, Ya Allah, yes. to raise our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, hum gunahgar hai, hum siyakar hai, hum badkar, mujrim, khatakar hai. Ya Allah, extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with so many ni'mats and bounties, Ya Allah. The bounties of our eyes and ears, Ya Allah. Our hands and feet, Ya Allah. Our tongues, Ya Allah. Heart, liver, lungs all functioning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, these are great bounties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you brought us from non-existence into existence, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you blessed us with Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and most importantly, Ya Allah, you made us from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we did not make any form of application to be blessed with these ni'mat, Ya Allah. Or any registration, Ya Allah. We didn't pay any fees for these, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, through your fazal and your karam, Ya Allah. Through your mercy and bounty, Ya Allah. You granted us all these bounties and ni'mat, Ya Allah. You allow our hearts to beat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow our lungs, Ya Allah, to take in air, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you cause the blood to flow within our bodies, Ya Allah. You cause, Ya Allah, our eyelids, Ya Allah, to beat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, everything that we have is you, from you, Ya Allah. Bounties upon bounties, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we have been extremely ungrateful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have been so ungrateful, Ya Allah. Such a Kareem Allah, such a Rahim Allah, such a merciful Allah, such a benevolent Allah, such a beloved Allah, Ya Allah, such a generous Allah, such a Kareem and Harim Allah. But yet Allah, from the morning till the night, Ya Allah, we are disobedient, Ya Allah. On so many occasions, Ya Allah, we have used our eyes for so much of haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you saw everything, Ya Allah. You were aware of everything, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you wanted, you could have made us blind the moment we looked at haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with our ears we listen to so much of haram, Ya Allah. You could have made us deaf the moment we listened to haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we spoke so much of haram with our tongues, Ya Allah. We sliced the hearts of so many individuals with our tongues, Ya Allah. We made ghibat of so many individuals, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you could have removed the power of speech and made us dumb, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, you've blessed us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we used our very bounties for your disobedience, Ya Allah. You could have paralyzed us the moment we committed a sin. You could have sent a lightning bolt from the sky to annihilate us and destroy us. You could have caused the ground to split open and swallow us alive, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, we commit sins night and day, but yet you still give us water to drink, Ya Allah. You still give us food to eat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you still, Ya Allah, so tolerant, Ya Allah. And yet you give us an opportunity to raise our begging bowls again before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are knocking at your door, Ya Allah. This is a Mubarak occasion when the khatam of the Quran Sharif has been completed. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim has informed us that when the khatam of the Quran Sharif is made, 70,000 angels descend, Ya Allah. It is occasion when du'as are accepted, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those sins which you committed knowingly or unknowingly, Ya Allah. In the light of day or darkness from night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, even if our sins are more than the waves of the sand, or waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. More than the trees and the leaves of the trees in this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, your ocean of forgiveness is much, much more, Ya Allah. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire humanity, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, no one can question you while you forgave those sinful servants who raised their begging bowls before you. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Our parents, Ya Allah. Our children, Ya Allah. Our spouses, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pareshad, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, especially in Kashmir, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know what is happening in Kashmir, Ya Allah. There is a complete blackout, Ya Allah, of communication and information, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, people cannot be reached, Ya Allah. One brother mentioned to me, he sent a message to someone in Kashmir, and up till now, no reply, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we just don't know what is happening any longer, Ya Allah. What zulm and oppression is taking place, Ya Allah, upon those brothers and sisters of ours, Ya Allah, in Kashmir, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, because of our weakness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, others are suffering in the ummah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, do not look at our actions, Ya Allah. Look at the precious tears of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he shed for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim loved his ummah so dearly, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, such fikr for his ummah he had, Ya Allah. Such love for his ummah, Ya Allah. That Ya Allah, his entire life he struggled for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. In Makkatul Mukarramah, Ya Allah, he was tortured, Ya Allah. That Nabi for whom, Ya Allah, flowers should have been thrown, Ya Allah, in his pathway. Thorns were placed in his pathway, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when we go for Hajj and Umrah with such comfort, Ya Allah, we make tawaf, Ya Allah, we make salah, Ya Allah. But my Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Haramain Sharifain, the filthy intestines of a camel were placed on his body. We have just passed Qurbani and we have seen the entrails of cows and animals. Can we imagine that filthy entrails, Ya Allah, being placed on the Mubarak back of my beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to such an extent that he could not even get up from his position of sajda. His beloved daughter began crying and saying, "Oh my father, Why are they doing this to you? Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, ashes were thrown upon his Mubarak head, Ya Allah. He was spat at in Medina, in Makkah Sharif, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Medina Sharif, Ya Allah, what trials and tribulations. Two stones tied to the Mubarak stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such poverty, Ya Allah, and such hunger, Ya Allah, for the sake of his Ummah, Ya Allah. But yet, Ya Allah, in Hajjatul Wida, at the height of his successes, Ya Allah, at the height of his victory, when he had 124,000 Sahaba surrounded, he was surrounded by 124,000 glorious shining Sahaba. But yet there, Ya Allah, he didn't forget us, Ya Allah. He made Ummat for him, he made dua for his Ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Arafat, Ya Allah, from Zohar till Maghrib, Ya Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and cried for the sake of his Ummat, Ya Allah. To the extent that his Mubarak beard became soaking wet, Ya Allah. His Ihram became wet, Ya Allah. And the ground became soaked with his Mubarak tears, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at every point he made so much of dua for his Ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to the extent that on the day of Qiyamah, when every single Nabi will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Nafsi, Nafsi. The mother and father will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Nafsi, Nafsi. My Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. Ya Allah, he will refuse to enter Jannah until the last of his Ummati is enter Jannah, Ya Allah. That was the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his Ummat. Today his Ummat is suffering throughout the world, Ya Allah. In Syria, Ya Allah. In Iraq, Ya Allah. In Libya, Ya Allah. In Libya, Ya Allah. In Libya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in so many parts of the world, the Muslims are being oppressed, Ya Allah. And now in Kashmir, they are being hurt, Ya Allah. They are being bombed, Ya Allah. They are being beaten, Ya Allah. Women are being beaten, Ya Allah. They are being disgraced and humiliated, Ya Allah. Allah, have mercy upon the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, there is so much of disunity in the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, disunity in homes, Ya Allah. Parents not talking to children, Ya Allah. Brothers and sisters disunited, Ya Allah. Family members full of disunity, Ya Allah. Allah, trustees and committees full of disunity, Ya Allah. Madrasas so much of disunity, Ya Allah. All the works of deen so much of disunity, Ya Allah. Allah, you unite the hearts of the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the only one who can spread unity, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to create unity within our own circles, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah, from creating mischief and discord, Ya Allah, amongst our circles, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, accept us all, Ya Allah, for the khidmat of your deen, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to correct our intentions, Ya Allah. Ame musaffa mujalla muzakka din ata farma, Ya Allah. Allah, give us clean and pure hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such beautiful akhlaq, Ya Allah. Allah, currently, Ya Allah, we are standing at the door of Islam and we are preventing others from entering Islam through our pathetic akhlaq and character, Ya Allah. People say that if Muslims are so dishonest, if Muslims are so deceitful, I do not want to be a Muslim, Ya Allah. We are closing the door to Islam with our bad character and akhlaq, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to implement the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu in our hearts. To the extent that people, when they see our character, say, if this is Islam, then I too want to be a Muslim, Ya Allah. Make us ambassadors of deen, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'alna hadina muhtadina ghayra dhali wala mudillin. Oh Allah, accept us all for the khidmat of your deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat, Ya Allah. Those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are the raziq, Ya Allah. There is no shortage in your treasures, Ya Allah. Allah, those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah, alleviate their difficulties, Ya Allah. Those who are in extensive debts, Ya Allah, Allah, make it easy for them to come out of their debts, Ya Allah. Allah, those who are going through, Ya Allah, medical issues, Ya Allah, grant them complete shifa, Ya Allah. Those who are in hospitals undergoing operations, Ya Allah, Allah, make the operations a complete success, Ya Allah. Those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious and compatible marriage partners, Ya Allah. The youth of the Ummat of Rasulullah, Ya Allah. Allah bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Those who are gone to wine, woman, Ya Allah, drink, Ya Allah, cinemas, discos and theatres, Ya Allah. Bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ya Allah. Allah, all the works of deen that are taking place, Ya Allah. Jitne bhi deeni kaam ho raha hai, sabko qubool farma. Accept all the works of deen, Ya Allah. The work of da'wat in tabliq, accept it, Ya Allah. Those who are making effort, Ya Allah, Allah, give them energy and strength and ikhlas, Ya Allah. Grant them the tawfiq to work within the parameters of Sharia, Ya Allah. Those, Ya Allah, who are in the khanqas, Ya Allah, accept their efforts, Ya Allah. Those who are doing the work of the masajid, the madaris, accept their efforts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who are doing social and welfare work, Ya Allah, you know the difficulties and challenges they are going through, Ya Allah. Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Accept their efforts, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us all the tawfiq to make, Ya Allah, khidmat of deen, Ya Allah, when in moderation, Ya Allah, with mahabbat and love for each other, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever difficulty, pain, taklif, sickness they are going through, Ya Allah, you know very well, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, Ya Allah. Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, how fortunate are these individuals who went for Hajj, Ya Allah. And whilst performing their Hajj, they passed away, Ya Allah. Say Allah, some passed away in Arafat, Ya Allah. Some passed away in Mina and Muzdalifah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, what a Mubarak death, Ya Allah. Some have passed away in the position of Sajda, Ya Allah. When our time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Darul Ay Mubarak Nabiya Paak, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As-salatu was-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. First, I was forced to depart, Ya Allah. Lekin agar muqaddar nahi hai, to jahan bhi ho, Ya Allah, barakat wali maud nasib farma, Ya Allah. Wherever it may be, let it be a death of barakat. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin and haram, Ya Allah. Oh Allah. Ya Allah, we have raised our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. The khatam, the Quran Sharif that has taken place, accept it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to recite the Quran Sharif regularly, Ya Allah, daily, Ya Allah. And grant us the tawfiq to make amal on the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. To implement the teachings of the Quran Sharif within our lives, within our homes, within our families, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Ya Allah. You are well away, Ya Allah, all the good desires and aspirations, Ya اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ با امید کرم آیا یا اللہ if a beggar is chased from one home that beggar can still go to another home if a dog is chased from one butcher that dog can still go to another butcher but یا اللہ if you turn your glance of rahmat away from sinful ones like us یا اللہ there is no other door for us besides your door یا اللہ do not turn your glance of rahmat away from us یا اللہ إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وآل وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين